Our Old Testament reading today is found in Genesis chapter 45. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father, and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children, and your children's children, and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household, and all that you have, do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." And then skipping ahead to verse 30. "Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus, if the dead are not raised? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Don't be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, 'How are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come?' You foolish person. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies, and what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For stars differ from star in glory. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. That hymn we just sang, that first stanza especially, ending with, you alone can grant us grace to live the words we say, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us or trespass against us. Today, we have so many wonderful things pointing us to a gospel truth that is hiding in our gospel reading. In our reading from Luke chapter 6, we get the golden rule. We get all of these great things that we can do as Christians to follow God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. All these wonderful things, great rules to live by, if you would, for how to interact with those around us. But there is a great gospel message hidden within this, even though, really, those words are all law. Do this, do this, do this. And we should. But if we're honest, we know we can't fully. But as Nathan said with the kids, Jesus does it all for us. Jesus, who is saying these things to his disciples, says them to us as well. And we're supposed to also hear that Jesus does these things perfectly for you and for me. In Luke chapter 6, he starts off saying, I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. A good starting point, very nice. Love your enemies. He said things like this before. I remember, love God with all your heart, soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes your neighbor is even your enemy. Hopefully not your physical neighbors. Hopefully you get along swimmingly and everything's great. But the people around us can sometimes even be our enemies, whether perhaps they have a different sports team that they agree with, or maybe a different political stance, or maybe they just think, you know what, I like Pastor's new haircut, and then they'll say, no, look, he looks silly. Hopefully that's not a big point of contention for all of you. We do find silly things sometimes to call people our enemies over, though. And we will often think of people as our enemies when really We should just be thinking of them as other people who are indeed sinners like us, and we are not perfect either. So as we're considering all of what Jesus is about to list for us, saying, love your enemies, we need to pump the brakes sometimes on who we call our enemies. And really consider that perhaps the greatest enemy, as we heard also in our readings, is death and the sin that leads to death. And the one who continues to whisper in the hearts and minds of individuals that they would give in to sin and fall away from God. Our enemies are maybe different than we would sometimes think. But these are still good things for us to consider, how to approach other people. Yes, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. And if that wasn't more, you could flip the page, and there's even more. But I want to skip ahead a little to verse 35. But love your enemies and do good. Lend, not expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Pointing us to why we should do these things, why we should be loving towards our neighbors, why we should even be kind to our enemies, or at least our perceived enemies. We do this because our Father in heaven is merciful and kind to us. We love because He first loved us, is another way it's put in the Bible. We hear this time and again. We are so dearly loved. We who are sinners receive God's mercy and His grace. We who are indeed, as sinners, God's enemies, have instead been called by Him His children. God has welcomed us into His family when we don't deserve to be there. God has forgiven you all your sins, and this is His great mercy, that He loves you that much to have done that. Not for any silly reason are we God's enemies, but we are that way because of something that would lead to our eternal death. He sees past that, though, when He looks at you. He sees the very life of Jesus Christ in your place. In fact, that's what that verse at the end of our reading means. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. If we try to measure up to God's goodness, if we try to measure up to doing God's law perfectly, this, by the way, that Jesus is saying, isn't even God's law as found in the Old Testament. This is extra. This is good things to do that we also can't do perfectly. We cannot live up, or we cannot measure up to God. That's why we are so thankful and so grateful that we don't even attempt to do that. When God asks, why do you belong in heaven? You could respond, if this is indeed how this conversation will go, I don't think it will. But if it were to happen this way, and God were to ask, why should you be in heaven? Because Jesus says so. Because Jesus died for me. Because He can measure up fully. He has measured up fully in the life that He lived for you. In fact, let's take a look back at those first few verses from Luke chapter 6. Jesus says, "I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." Good starting point. Just be loving and kind and do good things. Now realize if Jesus is giving this as a bit of a law, and we know that Jesus follows God's law perfectly, and he is God, then naturally speaking, he can follow this law perfectly. In fact, all of these verses here that follow, we see that Jesus did follow them perfectly when he was there on the cross and the path leading up to it. That word good can also be like a little bit of a reminder to those of us who look forward to Good Friday. We call it Good Friday, and it's coming, not because, woo, what a good day it was that Jesus died. That sounds weird, and that's wrong. But how good is it for us that he did? It is a Good Friday that happened because on that day your sins were fully paid for. So, love your enemies and do good, Good Friday we'll say, to those who hate you. Jesus had come to save even those who so vehemently hated him that they would have him sent to the cross. He had been saying things that the Jewish leaders didn't like, that sounded weird and foreign, that would take power from them. He had been saying things that would convict you and me, that we indeed do not follow God perfectly. To those who would hate what Jesus had to say, he still did good for them. He still does good for us. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. They cursed and insulted Jesus that day. They abused him, body and soul. We do the same. Not just when we take the Lord's name in vain and misuse it in our words, but when we live in ways that are contrary to God's word. We abuse even being Christians, saying, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. I can abuse this faith that I have and continue on sinning. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. At any point, Christ in his power, who was able to pass through crowds that were trying to push him off a cliff earlier in the gospel, could have stopped the lashings from happening, could have left the cross, could have got down off the cross. From the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. They stripped Jesus not just of his dignity, but of all of his personal possessions, leaving him clothingless on the cross. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. Again, if you're truly the Son of God, come down off that cross. You can do it, right? He could, but he chose not to. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Christ, in his mercy, in following the will of the Father who is merciful to us, gave his life that we might live. And he asks in return, actually, that we not attempt to follow these laws perfectly in the hopes that we could somehow make God happier with us. He tells, we are told in Scripture that sacrifices I do not desire. He desires your very heart. He desires your life. We're not called to die on the cross for the world, but we are called to take up our cross and to follow Jesus. He who has given his life perfectly in our place, who loves you perfectly to have done all these things, he did for us that he'd like for us to do for him. And in gratitude, we respond to God. In thankfulness, we follow him. the verse 35 I read before. You will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. His kindness and his mercy goes before us and before our mercy ever could. He calls us to himself. He says, you are mine. I am merciful to you. God loves you and he has forgiven you without you doing any of these things here listed by Jesus. Those times when we are seemingly ungrateful even. Those times when we would even act in evil ways, contrary to God, he is merciful. He loves you. As we approach Lent and we prepare our hearts and our minds for the great joy that we have on Easter, all of those times when we look at our sins, all of those times we look at our shortcomings, all of those times when we need to be reminded to love our enemies or our neighbors as ourselves, do not fall into despair about your inability to do this perfectly. That's why Jesus came. That's why he gave his life for you. He knows that we can't. And yet, we do seek to follow God. We do seek to be grateful for all he's done. Because he's loved us, we love him and others in return. Because he's been merciful to us, we show mercy. When we do this, it's both good for us in our own hearts. But how great is this for others? Our Old Testament reading has Joseph and his brothers. Joseph, who, you may recall the whole story, gets thrown in a pit and then gets sold into slavery. Is told by his father is told he's dead, and to his brothers he's as good as dead. They'll never see him again. He lives in prison after he's been lied about, and he serves unjustly in prison. And then, lo and behold, God had a plan, and he puts him in charge of all of Egypt. And in mercy, he responds to his brothers and points this out. God had a plan to do good. He worked even through all of this. And in mercy, God uses that to bless others, to bless the coming 12 tribes of Israel, both to bless them in the food they needed to survive a drought, but also to be blessed in knowing that God is looking out for them and God does provide, even when we would cast a chosen son into a pit of death. Well, that sounds kind of familiar, like something we just talked about. God time and again shows mercy to others, and he often uses his people to do so. This is not the only example that could have been chosen from the scripture today. We could have talked about Jonah and Nineveh. Jonah, who begrudgingly is sent to Nineveh, so much so that I don't want to do it. Well, fine, here's a giant fish, you're going anyway. And is sent to go and deliver the news that the Ninevites needed to hear. And as he does mercifully, even if begrudgingly, share God's word to them, the people's hearts are changed and they are not destroyed. David, after he was anointed to be king, lives as a child who is frequently nearly killed by the current king, Saul. In mercy, David did not seek to kill Saul instead, though he had a great opportunity. It's a fun story. You should read through 1 Samuel sometime. In showing mercy, though, he shows that he is indeed a different type of king who wants to be a man after God's own heart. And in doing so, provides a great example for what Jesus Christ does for us. We have Saul, who would become Paul, who is blinded on the road to Damascus. Oh, no, that's a different one. Sorry. It's very exciting. Saul, who is blinded, goes off and is led to this Judas on Straight Street, and God comes to Judas and says, Saul's coming, you're going to pray over him. And Judas says, the same Saul who's trying to kill us right now? You're bringing him to my house? I don't know about this. This doesn't seem like a good idea. But he does, in mercy, go and listen to God, prays for Saul, and Saul goes on to be Paul, who does amazing things for the church. that same Paul who in prison would sing psalms and preach and end up converting even the jailers who were there imprisoning him. We can see how when we gratefully follow God and show His mercy to others, God does amazing things. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful, both for your benefit and for others. Not so that you may be saved. You're doing it as one who already is saved, in the hopes, actually, that others might be saved also. Be merciful as your Father is merciful, and as He's been merciful to you. You are dearly loved. You are fully forgiven. You live as God's child, and you have the same opportunity to share that mercy with others, that they might hear the glory of God and receive His blessings. And so they too may have the same peace that would surpass all human understanding, that guards and keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you His peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.